Yo, welcome back. This is part two of last week's part one of really having the best sort of parties you can ever design. If you didn't catch last week's episode, make sure you check that out because this is part two on how to run the party, how to optimize it on social media, how to make sure the right people show up, and just how to have an awesome killer house party. No other guys are really doing this. This is like super next level stuff that I only was planning on releasing to the Leverage guys, but went ahead and put it on the podcast anyways, because I love you guys. So enjoy. Welcome to the Leverage podcast, where we give you men's dating advice that doesn't suck. I'm your host, Robbie Kramer, a former finance guy, online poker pro, and highly ranked collegiate golfer. Before I became obsessed with understanding attraction and passionate about teaching men how to improve their love lives. Tune in each week where we'll give you the latest and greatest strategies to get more dates, make yourself more attractive and confident with the opposite sex in order to meet your perfect 10, and design a lifestyle that makes all your buddies jealous. If you're a regular listener and digging our content, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, YouTube, wherever you watch or listen to this. But if you don't think it's worthy of 5 stars, just go ahead, don't leave any review at all. If you're new to the show, I recommend you download my dating protocol. It'll help you optimize your first dates and subsequent dates. I like to connect with my listeners personally, so if you want to pick up a copy of that PDF, please direct message me on Instagram at Robbie_Kramer. Before we dive into this week's content, I want to let you guys know we've opened up a few slots in our exclusive community called Leverage. We are accepting applications if you want to join our select group of men and experience the radical power of accountability to step up your game, cross off everything on your sexual bucket list, and become a beast at accomplishing your goals. To learn more and apply, go to innerconfidence.com/leverage. Now let's dive into this week's content.
So at the party, we're not going to be blatantly hitting on girls or making passes at them. We're going to be playing it cool and let the ratio work its magic. If this isn't happening, it's because you're either running too much nice guy energy and you haven't adopted the required frame. If that's the case, we just gotta, go back and keep working on that process until it clicks, right? Like the best way to get over nice guy syndrome, like I said yesterday, is approach a lot of women, right? So if you're having these parties and you're never getting laid and never getting attraction, well, we got to go back to the drawing board on that. But looking at all the guys in here, I think we're all doing pretty good on that. Okay, so the mindset is the one thing you can't fake. And if you have no success with women, women are going to smell that from a mile away. Like if you don't have the right mindset, if you don't have the status, they're going to know, right? And this is going to be the case a lot of the time with young guys who are fresh out of a long-term relationship or they have no recent success. So you got to build wins on there. Assessing where you're at and how you're building attraction is going to, have a big factor in this. But just remember that we don't need to hit on girls. It's really about the ratio doing the work at the party. And I'm going to show you later how you can spot their attraction and if they are attracted, what to do. So your job is to be a good host. That means overseeing everything, making people feel welcome. You want to spread your attention around, shake a lot of hands. You want to basically make sure you meet everyone who comes to your party. And you don't need to hit on the girls. You can just welcome them, ask them if you can get them anything. Be a good host. You can say, welcome to my home. Thanks for coming, right? You have the advantage of bowing out early of interactions before the energy dies. And that's a big thing that I always found is I would always know when my energy was going to die before that interaction would die. So rather than standing there awkwardly or trying to force a conversation, I would just leave and walk away and do something else. I'm like, oh, someone's trying to get in. Be right back. Nice meeting you, right? You can also grab girls' Instagrams, like right when you meet them, like, oh, cool. Thanks for coming. Give me your Insta. Like it's your house. That's not a weird thing to ask for. And you'll get better at kind of feeling out when you can ask for the Insta. But if you're just being friendly and cool, there's no real implied that you're hitting on them by exchanging an Instagram. On your first few parties, you'll probably enjoy dealing with the logistics, but after a few rounds, you'll want to hire someone to help you with this. I found that over many years of doing this, my favorite thing was making shisha, smoking shisha, and kind of handling the music. And I was never a DJ at that time, just kind of making sure that the music was going. I would kind of be the DJ on the iPod. And just trying to cater the music to what the vibe was like. So that's kind of what I found. And everyone's going to find their own sort of thing that they like to do at the party. And that's the beauty of it. Your wingmen might like making drinks while you might like doing something else. And making drinks or making shisha is kind of a cool activity you can do while talking to people. You can recruit girls to help you. Like, hey, help me come make a shisha. You ever made a shisha before? Let me show you how to do it. Or help me make this cocktail. It's really fun to make this. You know, having girls help you doing shit and putting them to work is a great way to connect with them. Treat guys and girls basically the same. Like, I treat the girls and the guys like they're all my homies. Nothing's really different. If I'm touchy-feely with my guy friends, I'm touchy-feely with my girlfriends. If I'm not touchy-feely with my guy friends, I'm not touchy-feely with my girlfriends. I do everything the same. The nice thing about being the host is you're always busy, so you're never really standing around or getting in your head, which is kind of like standard operating procedure of most guys at parties. Like, you see them kind of standing, like holding up the wall, right? So when you're the host, that's never going to happen. The first hour of the party is typically people drinking, eating, chatting, and you want the vibe to be chill. Dancing, only do it if you're good. If you're not good at dancing, you can do it if you don't care about getting laid. Girls will see that you're a bad dancer and they'll think, oh, he can't dance, which means he probably can't fuck. So if you can't dance, watch the dancing scene from Hitch, where he teaches his client how to do just like the stay in the place sort of thing. I'm a shitty dancer, so I don't dance very often. When hosting, it's always nice to introduce other people to each other. If you see a girl who needs saving from a shitty conversation, you can add a lot of value by doing that. That'll create attraction as well. You know, if you see her feeling bored, like, hey, can I borrow you for a second? Like, she'll really appreciate that. As people get more drunk, you can change the vibe of the music and change the whole vibe with the music and lighting. Like, if you want to change the vibe, change the music, change the lighting. The louder and darker you make it, the more people tend to get fucked up. That may or may not be a good thing, depending on the guests and the vibe. Being the sex cupid. So this was kind of my favorite role of all of them once I got more confident and once these parties started getting more and more wild. So we're going to use games to encourage escalation and hookups between people. And this is why people will love to come back to your parties. I would always recruit girls who would do the same thing. And the events would just get so much fun. And girls would know, like, wow, if I go to this party, I'm going to get laid. Guys knew that, girls knew that, so everyone wanted to come. And the parties would just get increasingly sluttier, right? You guys saw the example that I played. So first, I'm going to talk about different games. The first one is body shots, right? How to do a body shot. There's two versions. There's a PG-13 version, which is you lick their neck, you put salt on the neck, you instruct the girl to put the lime in her mouth and hold it between her teeth, and then you lick the salt off her neck, you take the shot, and then you kind of kiss her as you take the lime out of her mouth. The beauty of that is you don't obviously try to kiss her, but as you're taking it out, like, she's going to show you pretty obviously how much she's into you. So that's a great way to test for attraction and to see how you're doing. And if, you know, if you get your wingman to say, hey, you guys have to do a body shot, then, you know, it's not like you're the one doing it. So you can hide behind the fact that you're not trying to escalate, but you're getting that information. All the things I'm always doing at parties, it's all about getting information to see where I stand. So I know if the girls are into me or not. And if they're not, I'm never pushing, because eventually I know she will be into me because of the ratio and because I'm just building my status. And it's just a matter of time. I never have to be the one pushing. I'm never the one chasing. I'm never the one like making the move. I'm waiting for the girl makes it blatantly obvious that she wants me to make a move. And then I'll show you guys how to do that in a second. The R-rated version of the body shot is the same as before, except you put the shot glass in between her tits and you pick her up and do the shot. You got to be pretty strong. The girl has to be pretty small for that. But the other one is you can get her to lie on a table and you can put the shot in her belly button. That's the party games. If people are hesitant and you're not confident in your ability to usher the games I'm about to talk about, you know, be careful of that, because you could come across annoying, or this is an acquired skill, being able to usher these games. So having a girl who's like a cheerleader who can also do it with you and who can push the games is actually better if she does it than if you do it. Like, if you guys remember in Berlin, my wife Maria was pushing all the games and like, you give a lap dance, you do this during the Jenga game. So Jenga is my favorite game, but it's with a twist. So it's not my favorite, second favorite. What we do with Jenga is we buy a Jenga set And then we put instructions of what to do on the blocks. So when someone pulls out a block, they read the block and then it tells them what to do. So an example would be remove shirt, remove pants, do a gender top swap. So would have to switch his shirt with a girl. So she would wear her shirt, she would wear his. Kiss left, kiss right. So if you pull kiss left, you got to kiss this way, you got to kiss that way. Motorboat left, motorboat right. Blowjob on food. So if someone's got like a banana there or something, you know, you got to give a blowjob on food. Act out a sex position. We're gonna give you guys a list so you can create your own Jenga games. And depending on how crazy and sexual, you know, your crowd is, you can have ridiculous shit on these Jenga things. We used to have like perform squirt on one of the Jenga blocks. You pull that, you got to make the girl squirt. Like I was doing very insane parties, and obviously that's not gonna happen on your first view, but give a spanking, get a spanking. Those are the ideas there. And the next game is called Spin the Bottle, Truth or Dare. So it's a hybrid version of Truth or Dare. And the way that you pick who goes next is you spin a bottle, right? You just put like a whatever bottle on the table, you spin around, and then the person it lands, whoever's doing the spinning, right? They have to, so someone spins, it lands on the person, wherever the bottle points, they have to pick Truth or Dare. And the person who spun has to give them the truth or the dare. What I like to do is say the whole group can give the truth or dare. And then some of the examples for that is like fuck, marry, kill. So out of all the people, pick one you're gonna fuck, one you gotta marry, one you gotta kill. That shows, that'll show you like who likes who a lot of the time. The whole point of these games is to see who likes who, right? I'm playing this sex cupid role and I'm seeing who likes you, you do this, you do that. That's why our parties are so fun. I mean, obviously, if you guys are doing that by yourself, you don't need someone like me doing it. You can be your own sex cupid, right? But at the immersion events, I try to play this role to give you guys the idea. Girls, one thing that you might want to say beforehand is no gay truth or dare things, because girls will always try to get guys to do like gay stuff. It's just annoying. It's always the annoying girls will do that. But so you might want to make that rule beforehand. There's no gay stuff, all right? One great sort of thing you can do with the truth or dare is you tell the person that landed on, you tell them to close your eyes. And you say three people are going to come and kiss you, and you have to guess which one did it. Or there's a million things you can do with that. Like the more you play these games, the more creative you'll get with them and the more fun you'll have. The cool thing about Jenga is you can just kind of have it sitting on a table there and people will just start playing it. Whereas Spin the Bottle, Truth or Dare, you want to kind of do that once the party's been going for like an hour or so and kind of really bump the mood. But people will fucking love your parties if you play these games, because everyone wants to like, you know, push their comfort zone and everyone wants to do fun, cool shit. And it's just a ton of fun. So we got a question. What is your preferred method of inviting people? WhatsApp, Facebook events, et cetera? So Facebook events, at least in the US, are kind of played out. Most people ignore those sort of notifications and it's just kind of look like it's kind of lame. So I think an Evite would be a bit better, or one of these other like specific invitation tools online. You don't have to do that, but it just allows for a little bit more organization. And I usually, you're going to invite the girls over text. You're going to send them individual messages with that meme invite. So that's the go-to on that. Another question here. If the main way of getting these girls to the parties is through day, night game and dating app game, how do you get the leads for guys who bring value like DJs, bartenders, and others if you aren't connected in the nightlife scene? Well, you don't need those guys at first. You really don't. You don't even want those guys at first. First, you need the girls. First, you build up your social circle. You bring girls that you're meeting in your life, however, whatever methods you're doing. And as the parties get bigger and as your social skills improve, you can get to the point where it's a lot easier to network with these people in nightlife. Getting good at that, like me being able to meet those promoters I talked about, was a function of me just getting better in general. With my dating life, with my game. You know, if you have no experience with any of this, you really need to go through those initial processes first and get to the point where, you know, you've got women in your life, you have girls that can come on dates. Like when to do that switch from hunting to farming is when you can already build a rotation of girls. If you can't build a rotation of girls, it's going to be virtually impossible to do any of this, because it's, you know, like you're not getting attraction, right? If you don't have attraction, you're kind of fucked, right? Like being in the environment of parties eventually will help you. It'll help your social circle, but it's going to be too big of a stretch, if that makes sense. Thoughts on throwing a party in a small NYC apartment? Totally fine. Used to do that all the time. Just make sure your neighbors are cool with whatever you're doing. Bring them a bottle of wine, like I said. Is there a risk of friend zoning a girl you like and she actually becomes your friend? So here, that's a good question. If a lot of guys think, okay, well, what about these girls who friend zoned me? Can I just invite them to the party? The problem is if you invite a girl who friend zoned you, the girls will always talk to other girls and she'll be like, oh, how do you know Robbie? And be like, oh, you know, we're friends or whatever. And she'll be like, oh, did you ever hook up with him? And she'll be like, oh, no, I don't really see him like that. He's just a friend. And what the other girls are going to think is like, oh, if he's not good enough for her, then he's not good enough for me, right? Girls will talk and they'll figure this shit out. And that I used to think that, oh, yeah, I'll just bring all these girls that I got friend zoned with. And then I never hooked up with any of their friends. But if you do bring a girl, the risk of her friend zoning you when she sees other girls competing for you is extremely low, right? It's just really not going to happen. Like the status from the ratio is going to work its magic. This is a long-term strategy to get the highest quality women, right? That's what this is for. So I wouldn't worry about a girl friend zoning you. It probably won't happen. The only way you really get friend zoned is if you try to escalate on a girl and she has to tell you she's not interested. If you never do that, then it's like ambiguous who put who in the friend zone. And then Steve said, no, I mean, like if you meet a girl through day game, is there a risk not to f*** her early on because she might see you only as a friend? Well, that's what you kind of have to decide. You have to decide when you meet these girls through is it day game, online, wherever, you have to decide if you want to put them into your like social funnel or not, right? If you really want to do this and give this a try, because you're already having some success with those other funnels, then I would recommend like trying to put all the girls in and just stop going on dates. Like you just don't have to go on dates anymore. It's a lot easier. So you're not going on dates to hook up, I should say. You can do these short little meetup dates and use them to funnel girls into the party. But once you have the parties going, it just becomes way easier. That the momentum will build. Yes, there's always a risk, right? If you don't, like if a girl is really into you, and you don't escalate and then you invite her to a party later, sure, there's a risk that she's going to hook up with another guy or that guy will become her boyfriend. But odds are that relationship isn't going to work long run anyways, and she'll be back, right? So having patience will allow you to, you know, in my experience, hook up with all of the girls that you meet eventually. It may take a couple of years, but eventually it'll happen. But one thing I forgot to talk about too, is during the party, you want to take a shitload of Instagram stories because the girls in your life, like this whole thing is predicated a lot on your Instagram and your social media, because girls that you don't invite to the girls that don't come to the party and flake on the party or whatever, they're going to see the awesome party that they're missing. And then they're going to come to the next one. The party that just had, one of the girls flaked and then halfway through saw that the party was awesome, and then she showed up and stayed at the end to hook up with him. So if you're not putting the stuff out on Instagram, then you're really missing the whole sort of thing. I'm shocked I forgot to mention that earlier. And then obviously turning and then doing like continuing to post other things like throughout the week from the party, so you're always generating more content from the events. You're posting that content on your Instagram. If you don't want some people in your life to see it, you can put all of the girls that you want to invite on your close friends list and only show the stories to them. That way, if you have like work or family people on there that, you know, you want to keep that separate, you can easily do that. But documenting and having consistency, like trying to doing one party, the first party, odds are it's not going to be that great. If you put a lot of effort into it and you get the right wingman and you get the right setup, maybe it will be awesome. But their future parties will just get better and better and better. And then just this sort of builds and snowballs. And that's when you start making the connections with the promoters and the other people in nightlife and the people that can really sort of move mountains. It's not going to happen on your first party, right? Like, but if you stick to the long-term strategy of this, that's when you really start seeing the returns on the investment.
Yeah, Matt brought up a great strategy too with that Fiverr, because like you could just literally take photos. You just go around taking photos, taking a bunch of raw footage and just dumping it to someone. that will do all that video editing, all that social media post preparation and all that. And just, it's almost like a literally a social media manager that you could probably hire for a couple hundred dollars a month that could just release these things out on a scheduled basis and stuff. So that's like a great resource. Thanks for reminding us of that, Matt.
Yeah, it's been so cool watching what you guys have done after taking, you know, the teaching from me. Like those flyers, those weren't my idea. Like was the guy I coached through this process, and he made that sushi meme. The guy, like the sushi guy coming to my sushi party. And then I was teaching this to recently, and he was like, all right, well, I'm gonna actually hire someone on Fiverr to make this French Montana Thanksgiving thing. So that was done through Fiverr. And he just took that to a whole new level. So I love like, you know, I have some cool ideas, but when you guys take these concepts and you run with it, like what you can come up with is so much better than the shit. Like I never used the memes to invite girls. I wish I would have. It would have been so much easier. When I started doing this, I was like, holy shit, this is like different than what everyone else is doing. I realized this is what promoters and people who are crushing were doing. And I realized that everyone else that's in like the you know, pickup industry, all these dating coaches out there, no one was doing this. Everyone was just teaching cold approach. And I was like, well, you know, with cold approach, you hit that plateau. It's just a matter of time. And that's really the question you should ask yourself. Am I ready for this? And if you've come to the realization that that plateau is like something that you're facing and you're just not getting the quality of girls, then this is what you need to do, right? Because like I said yesterday, that when you're dealing with eights, nines, tens, girls who are very hot, the flake rate is just so high from the traditional dating process. And then if you do end up hooking up with them and you're not looking for a monogamous sort of relationship, you know, you're kind of, you know, you're in a tough spot there. Versus if you bring girls, if you're nonchalant and casual with girls, you don't show any interest, you bring them to these parties over time, they just see you as a man of status and high value, you never try to hook up with them, they're going to try to hook up with you because every girl wants to chase a guy of high status. A girl would rather compete over a high status guy than hook up with a boring beta male all day, every day. And girls aren't thirsty for sex like guys are. So let's see. My only concern, it seems like a lot of legwork plus time, money, hangovers. Yes, it is a lot of legwork. But guess what? So is going on lots of fucking dates all the time. That's a lot of legwork too. Either way, this shit takes work. I don't know what to tell you. There's no magic thing, unless you want hookers, have girls come over and bang you. But who wants that? Like, you know, and a lot of guys would accuse me in the past and be like, oh, those girls are probably hookers or they're this or they're that. I wish I liked hookers, right? My life would be so much easier if I liked hookers. But my dick will literally not work for a hooker because I get attracted to a girl if she's attracted to me. And that's why I love this model, because the girls who hook up with me are so into me because they've been chasing me. It makes the sex infinitely better. You know, like if you're having trouble making a girl come or orgasm, a lot of the times just because she's not that in you, right? And if she's got to work to get you, a lot of times she'll just be coming right off the bat because it's a mental thing, right? If she can come in her sleep in a dream, it shows it's not necessarily a physical thing. So this took care of a lot of the sex issues I was working on. And it just really made the relationships. Like when I got into relationships with girls from these funnels, like I was always in the position that I wanted to be in. Versus when I got into relationships before where I felt like I was getting lucky or chasing the girl, I told you guys yesterday how those worked out. So I really can't recommend this highly enough. Like anyone who's not doing this is either not ready to do it because their attraction game isn't good enough, their sexual market value is too low, which is something else you need to go back and work on. Or they're just, in my opinion, kind of silly because it takes the same amount of work to do this as it does to go on a bunch of fucking dates. In fact, this takes less work. There's way less rejection because you can find other women to do it with. It's a great way to bond with guys. And I'm going to show you a little bit later how you can even turn this into like a revenue stream or a side business. Very difficult to make money, but you can get to the point where you're kind of like breaking even some of the time.
Can you talk about the importance of Instagram using social to connect with people? What if you're not super active?
Instagram is very important to this because that's how we're going to tell which girls are interested in us. Right? Like if a girl likes all your photos and she's always interacting with your content, it's pretty obvious that she's into you. And that's a good way to kind of decide like whether or not you should invite her to a party. As I got more and more picky and choosy, I would make sure to really only invite girls that I thought would come, right? And as I got better and better, I started getting girls approaching me on Instagram, messaging me out of the blue. Hey, your parties look so awesome. I want to come, right? And then you don't even have to do the dates. They're just going to show up and they're going to bring girls. So maybe, you know, if you want to speak to this at all, you've been doing the parties for a while. Have you, and you don't even use Instagram, but you're going to start doing it soon. You've been doing this without Instagram, which is fucking incredible.
I watched a really interesting video that changed my mind. This guy was like, you guys like breathing air, don't you? Then you need Instagram. Instagram is like breathing air. So I'm finally convinced that I need an Instagram account. I unfortunately have just been relying on some of these Instagram famous people that I know to round up their friends. And now that I'm making my own contacts, and I've actually met some promoters this last couple of weeks, and I'm doing some party planning now, man, you got to get an Instagram and do your social media and everything and make the connection.
Yeah. And, you know, it doesn't have to be an overnight thing. You can build it slowly. If you already have an online dating profile, which hopefully you guys do, you already have photos for an Instagram. And that's something we talk about a lot about in the Leverage Group, is helping guys get their profiles up and getting good photos for Instagram and social media. It's very hard to date in this day and age without that, because all of your competition is going to have that. If it's overwhelming, it doesn't have to be a tomorrow sort of thing. And having these parties will help you build your Instagram very quickly. All
right. Yeah. And I'll also throw something in here too. Another option, I think maybe Robbie will agree on this, is having a brand account. So if it's not necessarily your account, it could be your party brand account. But also to like a kind of deeper thing to think about also is like, why aren't you super active, or what's preventing you? So sometimes people aren't as interactive, like aren't on social media because they're more of an introverted person, because maybe they're afraid of criticism or putting themselves out there. And these are just kind of part of potential symptoms and why you might not want to be active on Instagram. And just one of those things like approach anxiety to face.
All right, let's dive into the next section. So let's talk about spotting female attraction. The whole point of the party is to have women compete for you. So this is how you can tell if a girl's into you. So you can essentially cherry pick. So girls are going to do things that will really like tip you off of their interest level. If they walk up and they say, oh, you must be Robbie, it means that they already know you. They already know about your status and they probably want you, right? Like any girl like introduces herself and knows who you are, that's a really good sign. If they ask for a tour, she definitely wants you, right? Any girl who's like, oh, can I see your room? Like that's a great opportunity. If she makes you drinks, if she helps you clean up, if she organizes stuff, she wants you. If she's the last one to stay, usually she wants you. If you notice she's always around you, she definitely wants you. The best way to fuck this up, if a girl wants you, the best way to fuck up the whole like sort of behaving at the party is if you do what I call being a Let's Connect McJohnson. So I had a buddy back in the day, and he came with us to a nightclub one night, and we had a bunch of girls at the table, an amazing situation where the ratio was in our favor. He had a status. And what did he do? He sat with one girl that he liked and like ear fucked her skull with conversation for 3 hours. He just sat there like at the table talking to her. Let's Connecting McJohnsoning. So we started calling him up. Hey, Let's Connect McJohnson. Fucking chill out over there. Have a drink. Like, do something, you know? And what happened at the end of the night? Well, this girl didn't hook up with him because he was obviously thirsty. And none of the other girls gave him any love because they're like, oh, that must be his girlfriend, right? So locking down and trying to give your attention to one girl is the best way to get nothing out of all of this. So don't be a Let's Connect McJohnson. Now, how to party. So I usually wait for a girl to isolate me or request isolation from a house tour sort of thing. So I'm never pushing. And that makes a huge difference. And like, I've gotten so many like referral from that because they know I'm a fuckboy anyways. And they're the type of girls that are just looking to hook up. It just ends up getting stupid if you're not the pushy guy. Secret sauce to your ability to pull all this off is really based on how complete you are as a man. You know, your charisma, your sexual market value. So let's talk about how do you become this person? How do you really increase that SMV? Because your social funnel is like a Ferrari. It's only good as a driver, as they say. And really, this is what we focus on in the Leverage Mastermind. And we're going to do a couple exercises now to create a plan to become the best driver and work on a roadmap on how to get there. So what you can kind of expect in the first 30 days, what we see from a lot of guys is they're really starting to get their funnels working better. We've got all their, you know, we help you guys get all your funnels online and make sure you're maximizing your online dating, you're out there approaching, and you're starting to get a consistent amount of leads coming in. That's the first piece, right? Then from the 90 days, everyone's going to move at a different speed on this, but from 90 days, I like to see where guys start seeing sex on demand. And then at that 6 month mark, I really like to see the social circle starting to being built. And by the year mark, guys absolutely crushing. Is a perfect example of a guy who's really moved through this at a great speed. It's been about a year for him, and you guys have seen examples of what he's doing. He's only been in the group for less than, I think he's been in the group for 2 months, and he already did his first party. So we're not pushing you guys to go faster than you need to, right? I want to make you guys go as fast as I can, but this isn't like I understand people have their everyday life that they're dealing with too. And I don't want this to be an extra thing. I want this to actually save you time. And what most guys are doing is they're just wasting time on bad dates, doing things that don't work, kind of beating their head against the wall. So this is actually going to take time, give you time back in your pocket versus take time away. And that's kind of what you can expect to happen within that year. So the last thing is the price. It's $1 million a year. I'm joking. All right. It's 6 months. Love it or leave it. At the 6 month mark, we'll assess where you're at. A lot of guys implement some of our strategies for making passive income when it comes to real estate, putting their place on Airbnb, making some money back from their rent, doing those sorts of things. A lot of guys pay for the group with just those strategies alone. So it's a no-brainer for them to stay. Other guys, if they don't do that, they find that they're getting so much value in their dating life and their social life that, you know, still a no-brainer, even if the money isn't directly coming from the group. But if you stay an additional 6 months, the price drops down. And then after that, it goes monthly and there's options to graduate and become like a brown belt and other stuff that I'm not going to get into now. And we're not done. So next, we're going to cover how to create a special sort of hot chick relevant angle, which can be a big boost to the social funnel. Having I call it a shtick, is what's going to really like take the social funnel into kind of overdrive. You guys noticed before that I used all sorts of different ways to fill my parties. I had promoters and model houses. I had the Playboy events. One thing I did, which was a lot of fun, is I started a t-shirt line and I called it fucking pizdiets, which means shit happens basically in Russian, Ukrainian. And what I would do is I would give out t-shirts at my events because girls love these t-shirts and it would make them want to come back. And also people started buying the t-shirts on Instagram. There's an Instagram account called fucking pizdiets. You guys can find it if you search for it. And basically what I would do is I put up crazy photos of girls wearing these shirts and it just created a whole sort of brand around the parties, which is a lot of fun. Other examples of that, you know, the obvious one is being a photographer. I've had a lot of clients like get into photography because it gives them an excuse to interact with hot girls. And if you're interested in photography, that's a big plus. If you have no interest in photography, I'd recommend choosing something that you are interested in. You know, the sky's really the limit with this stuff because it's really about your own creativity. So you've got DJs, like if you like to DJ, that can be a great thing to do at the parties and to have people come. The better you get at DJing, it creates a theme around that. If you want to do events or a charity, is going to start doing that with his parties. He's going to start doing charities for Ukraine. He's in Berlin. There's so many Ukrainians that are refugees now in Berlin who escaped the war, and he's going to be doing parties to raise money. If you're a real estate guy, kind of like I was, you can use your apartments to host different events, or you can showcase real estate deals. That's another thing that I would use. I would find that was that whole trip that I talked about yesterday. We did that Europe trip where we brought hot girls to get guys' properties. And you could do the reverse. You could find rich guys that have properties that are looking to rent them out, and you can try to And if you have girls, like if you have the ability to bring girls into your life, finding guys with money is so fucking easy. There's a million guys out there who have tons of money and no girls, but there's not a lot of guys out there. Well, there's some promoters who have lots of girls and no money. So if you just take whatever, usually guys don't have both. So you can kind of make up in what other area you have. The next one is a musician. You've got a modeling agency. Shout out to he has a modeling agency, which is just, I mean, if you have a modeling agency or like what we used to do with Playboy, it's just a so much easier way to monetize it too. If you want to start a modeling agency, this is kind of how you could start to think about that. A fashion line, like what I just mentioned with the PZX shirts. If you're an artist and you want to showcase your work, or you want to have, you know, gallery parties, that's a great like excuse for a party. If you want to be like an OnlyFans marketer, I know some sleazy dudes that are doing that, where they help girls with their OnlyFans accounts. Anything that's a girl relevant, a hot girl relevant like industry, right? It's going to help with this whole setup. Talent agent, if you have a lifestyle or travel brand, some of you guys may have heard of Tilted. That is the guys from the Natural Lifestyles, like Liam, James, and Alex. They turned this whole thing into a brand called Tilted. Once me and stopped doing it, you can be an influencer or a marketer, like a Ty Lopez sort of dude, and kind of take that angle. And like I said, it's really anything where a hot female audience exists, and it gives your party another angle. Then it's more than just a party, because that's kind of what brings us all together. And if you don't have it now, that's totally fine. I don't expect anyone to have that, but that will naturally kind of come as this process continues. Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, I've been really thinking about doing the whole photography thing. A few weeks ago, I got myself a little drone to mess around with, and I've started to kind of mess around with that. And because it's like a lot of the shows now, they have like the drones flying around and taking good shots and stuff. And I've been kind of messing around on my phone, but I'm wondering if anybody, if you or Maria or something, knows resources that I can kind of start learning how to do it, because I suck at this point, but it is something that I do want to get good at. And then like, even at my parties, I don't have to pay a photographer. I can roll around with the camera and stuff. So.
Well, I never really got into photography, being around models and having a wife who's a model. I'm always taking photos, so I'm getting better at it, but I did really enjoy learning how to fly a drone. And I've been flying a drone, you know, back since I started doing the parties in 2017. I think we bought our first drone in 2018. And I'm a pretty good pilot, and I love doing that. And that gets me, like, what I would used to do at the parties with the girls I didn't like, basically, like when girls were just coming into the party a lot of the time, like when we did some of these destination places, I'd just be flying the drone, and that would immediately create a lot of like social proof and value for me, because girls would come over like, oh wow, you can fly the drone, that's so cool. And I'd fly the drone like close to them, and I'd, you know, take photos and share with them the photos. So being a drone pilot is awesome. I should have put that on
cool. I'm glad that reaffirms my purchase then.
Good. Yeah. A drone is fucking worth it. You can always get a lot of cool shit from a drone. Let's see. Someone asked, how do I start to get involved with a modeling agency? That's a good question. So started a modeling agency, and he came to me after that had happened. And he said, I heard you were, you know, the guy in the space to talk to about this sort of things. So I don't know how he started it. What I would probably recommend is start asking the right questions for who do you know that has any sort of relevance in that? Like, obviously, would be a great person to network it with in the group, and you can ask him. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I've never started a modeling agency per se, but it's a good question. Someone asked, can it work for professors or podcasters? Podcasting, I think, yes. I do some podcasting. It could be like bringing hot girls on your podcast would be a cool way to like get in front of people. You know, basically, like if you have another way to get in front of girls that isn't just approaching them, right? That can be just a great way to like build a social circle. So, you know, it depends on the focus of your podcast, of course, but there's usually a way to spin most podcasts into like some hot chick relevant thing, I would imagine. This is all about creativity. A yoga teacher, I mean, yeah, that's a fucking layup. Right? Hold the yoga classes, invite girls to the fucking classes. You know, you're going to get a bunch of hot girls. I know a guy in LA who opened a yoga studio and it turned out to be a great business for him. And he just absolutely destroyed. So yoga is a great option. I should have put that on the list as well. See, this is what I mean. When we get this mastermind effect going, come up with cool shit. I love it. BDSM club, any good for attracting girls? Good question. You know, BDSM, you're going to obviously attract that sort of niche. You're going to attract a lot of like people in a relationship already. Maybe, I don't know. if you're looking for like very sexualized women, that could be a good thing to do. Stand-up and martial arts. Anyone have any ideas how you could use, stand-up comedy? I mean, that's just a way to kind of grow your brand, your personal brand. You know, have cool shit on your Instagram. If you're a good stand-up comic, that's obviously going to help. Martial arts, Terry says, validate by hanging out at a BDSM club or invite girls to a BDSM club and see what happens, what response you get. Run women's self-defense classes. Yeah, there you go. You could offer that sort of thing.
I'll throw out a couple of things. Well, for Kevin, for stand-up, I mean, it sounds like he could use that as his venue or party, you know, inviting girls to your, you know, stand-up show. Obviously, you know, be pretty decent at it. But a couple of ideas I thought about at some point were, a webcam studio. So like if someone's interested in buying real estate, you know, some people buy real estate for the purposes of like Airbnb. You can Airbnb it for, you know, different ways, but I've seen what's very popular these days, especially with the pandemic, is that people are converting houses or having houses where they're webcam studios and you have different rooms where girls rent out either on a fee or a percentage basis, and paying percentage of their revenue. And they get the whole tech set up. And they have all that kind of worried free so that they could do the webcam and stuff. So I thought that was a cool idea. And the other idea, I thought about photography and getting back into it. But if I were to do it again, I'll probably do it from a VR angle. So, you know, having a camera that shoots in VR, not to say that could trickle into VR porn because that's a slippery slope. You know, who knows who would want to go there, you know, fall into that kind of category of recording VR porn with your own headset and doing all that stuff. But those are a couple of things that I thought were kind of fun if I were to jump in this again.
It's been cool to see some of the guys in Leverage with what they've created. Like, for example, who a lot of you guys know, he created an awesome photography brand. He's down and he splits his time between Medellin, Colombia, and LA. And he just girls that are his like photography clients at this point. Like, it's so easy for him. Like, he just takes photos of them. You know, has little parties every once in a while, or just bangs them after the photo shoot, because he's kind of built his brand and he's built himself up to the point where, you know, girls will just see his Instagram and it does all the work for you. Once you have a fucking killer Instagram, it makes, you know, and you're doing this stuff, it just becomes stupid. Like I said, it's tough when you're not doing any of this and you're just doing the hard sort of hunting. But once you get these strategies in place, it just gets easier and easier and easier to the point where you just eventually you're like, it's really just kind of solved. It's too easy because the whole system is working for you versus against you. Any sort of aha moments or you know, questions about the overall process? I know we just kind of did that, but any sort of last minute things or any sort of...
I'm not sure how many people who aren't in the Leverage are still here, but I want to say that I can't imagine how I would be socially if I never met Robbie. I think it would be a completely different thing. Every single piece of self-development related to being somebody who can speak and somebody who can be in groups and stuff, I think I attribute every single bit of that to Robbie.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that. That's like the best compliment I can get. And it's been cool to watch. Kevin, you might be like our oldest client. What was it, 2009 we met in New York City? And it's been so cool to watch you kind of develop from like the most introverted, like shy, weird dude ever to like a guy who does stand-up comedy. Like, he literally, Kevin gets on stage and like does stand-up. He does Toastmasters and crazy events. Like, your transformation from where you were, it's fucking remarkable. So I want to acknowledge you for all the hard work that you've done. You know, over the last, fuck, how many years, 13 years, you know, this isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. And you started when you were, I mean, you're still young, but you know, you got started with when you're really young. So it's been cool to kind of watch you develop. And I'm glad you stuck around for so long.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.